This morning, our devotional reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, "The number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field he called in their proper tongue a Seldoma, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwelleth therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Are there any announcements for you? Go to class. If not, let's go to Sunday school.
You ready? All right. Well, that's good. Our lesson text comes from the book of Mark, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. I'll read that at this time. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. We have here our Lord Jesus. It says here, he called unto him whom he would. That is, he chose out 12 men and it says he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he should send them forth to preach. And I think it's important to understand here that it's in the 14th verse here, it says that they should be with him. That is, that they should learn of him, they should travel about, and that he could teach them, and they could understand and get a feel and a knowledge of what it was. It says that they send them forth to preach, that they would know what to preach. What I'm trying to say is they had to learn, that they had to be around the Lord, and he took them and taught them. And he gave them this power here in the 15th verse, is the power to heal sickness and cast out devils. Now, It's my belief that this was only given to these 12 apostles. That's not something that continued on later on. And I think our Lord had a special purpose for that, the teachings might be spread, that people might understand and be saved. It was a special power that was given unto them for this time, and this time only. What I mean is that if someone comes up today and says, I have the power to cast out devils or to heal the sick, I don't think that's the way it is, because I think that today as God's people, we're commanded to pray to the Lord for the sick. Cindy brought up Addison Park, the child that's suffering from brain tumors a few minutes ago. There is no man that's going to go up to that child or any other person and put their hands on them and heal her. That's not the way it is. Now, these apostles, I believe, had that power. They could do that, but that power ended with them. But today, we as God's people are to turn to the Lord and ask for His guidance. We're to turn and ask Him to help her. Whether that help is to be that she should be healed, or that help is to be that her pain should be subsided, that she might be able to bear it. Whatever the Lord sees fit to do, we're to take this case and these problems to Him and to lift her up. And not just with our minds, because so often it's kind of easy for us to hear someone in need and just with our minds say, okay, Lord, help this person out, and then we just go on our way and we don't really think. But we ought to, as God's people, feel a pain. We ought to feel a sorrow when we're faced with these things, things that are going on in the world today, the troubles and the trials and the heartaches that are in the world, in our own people, in our own families. That needs to bother us, to not just be something taken lightly, but we need to take that to the Lord in prayer and plead with Him that He might see these things and that He might intervene. Not that it's always going to be what we would think of as taken care of, what we might think of with our own minds as being fixed. I don't know what the outcome is going to be on these things that are brought forth, but as saved individuals, we have a special power. Not the power that these apostles had, but we do have a power to take our problems and the problems of others to the Lord that He might deal with them in whatever manner He might see fit. Now, I'm getting a little bit off here from this these apostles being called, but I think it's important for us as God's people to understand that we do have a power. You know, if we've truly been saved by God, we can take things, we can petition God for His help. And I'm afraid that's where we fall, what we fail to do so many times. And the reason I say that, and when I say fail to do that, I don't mean fail to put forth an effort, put forth an attempt. But we fail many times, I'm afraid, to get through to God and to truly humble ourselves, to put aside the things of the world. That's a problem. I mean, I face that on a daily basis, laying aside the things of the world, the things that kind of clutter up our minds and they lead us astray and they tempt us. Not necessarily things that are evil, but just things that are enticing, things that are fun to be around. Those things get in our way. We can't pray the way that we ought to, and we fail. I fail. I'm speaking for myself. Judging from the conditions that I see God's people in, I have to think that I'm not the only one that's suffering from these things. But this is the greatest opportunity that we have, the greatest resource that we have is our prayer to God, our ability to make intercession for others, and our ability to ask God to forgive us of our sins. Not for that we can be saved again, but that we might be put back in to communion with Him, that we might be able to lift up those that need us. If I'm going off in the wrong direction, straying in the world and just kind of at ease in Zion, as the Bible says, I can't take the prayers to the Lord for those other people, for those that are sick, that are suffering. I can't do that because I'm not where God would have me to be. But when I see these things, when I understand what's going on with me, and I ask the Lord to forgive me, to help me out, to put me back in fellowship, when I pray for myself, then He'll hear. When I pray in the right manner, and when I really want this to happen, He'll hear. And it's at that point that I can get back and I can begin to feel some empathy, to understand what other people are going through, to really want to see some change occur. That's what we as God's people need. I believe that's what we need, to want to see some change occur, to want to see things not just carry on the way they are. I think we're living in a really bad time. I really feel like that we're nearing the end of time. But what does that mean? Because they thought in the Testament, in the New Testament here, they thought they were living in the end times. It doesn't matter whether we're living in the end times or not, in the sense that we have an obligation and a responsibility to the Lord. We have things that we need to be taken care of, whether this earth continues on for another 100 years, 1,000 years, 1 year, that doesn't matter. It doesn't change our responsibilities at all. It doesn't change our, it shouldn't change our conduct. We should live our lives as if tomorrow's the last day, whether it is or whether it is not. We ought to ask ourselves, well, what would we do different? Now, you might be thinking, well, I wouldn't go to work tomorrow. I wouldn't go, if it's going to be the last day, I don't want to spend my life. But why not? Why not go to work and let everybody there know today is the last day, if that were the case? Now, the Bible teaches us that no man knows, and it would be foolish of me to go to work and say today is the last day, because I can't possibly know whether it is. But rather, go to work and say, what if today were the last day for you? What if today is the day that you die in a car wreck? I'm getting a little bit off subject, but the point is, I think that Satan is going about destroying our families, he's destroying our church, and he's destroying our country, and we as God's people have the power to stop that, and we're not. We're not, because we're just kind of going along. We're at ease in Zion, as the Bible says. Now, I think that's what happened. That's what's happening today. We have the power, we have the ability to go to God in prayer. We don't have the ability and the power that these apostles had, but we don't need that. We have something, I believe, better than that. Because, and by better, I mean, if we walk out and we heal somebody that's sick of a physical infirmity, okay, we've made their body better, but what about their soul? But today we have the power to lift up somebody's soul that the Lord might save them. Not that we can save them, but we can have the convicting power of the Spirit of the Lord about us, and that will convict them, and they'll be saved when we're where we ought to be. That's never changed. It was. It's been that way, I guess, since this time, that when God's people meet together with a humble heart, a contrite spirit, and a true desire above all things to see the lost saved, I believe they'll be saved. The convicting power of the Lord will be so great that they'll be saved. And, you know, we kind of, we want to pick and choose sometimes, I guess, who gets saved. We want to say, well, this person over here is a good candidate right there. They believe. But we don't know. We can't see into their hearts. And that's an error that we make. When we do our part to serve God, when we're where we need to be, the Lord will put somebody over here that's willing to hear. There are people, I believe, that are willing to hear, that will be willing to be saved. I don't know who they are. I can't know. It's not meant for me to know. But they're out there, and I believe they're in Nashville. They're in this community. And if we as God's people was where we needed to be, God would get them in here somehow or the other. That's the crux of the matter right there. We need to depend upon God to get the people in here. We need to depend upon Him for everything. But we, as His people, have to be where we ought to be. These 12 here, he said, he called him and to him whom he would. He picked those people out, those men out. And they came unto him. They listened and they heard and they did what he told them to do. Well, he picked me out in the sense that he saved my soul. He allowed the gospel to come unto me, and I heard it, and I believed, and I repented, I listened, and I was saved. So he picked me out there, and I came unto him. He drew me, and I came unto him. And since that time, I've studied the Bible. It's been kind of hit or miss. I haven't always done, most of the time, I don't think I've done what I ought to. But I've begun to learn a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. And I know that I have the power to pray unto him. I've done it a few times, but not as much as I ought to. But I know that that power is there. That ability to pray to God and to get a prayer through, if I will, is with me. And I believe it's with you also. This power to go out and physically heal the sick isn't with us. And I don't think it would be a great... I'll take that back. It would be a great a blessing to these people, but that need to be healed. But more importantly is the salvation of the souls. You know, and we as God's people, above all things, should be able to see that. We need to understand that. The body is not really all that important. It is important, don't get me wrong, but what's really important, what's going to be around throughout all eternity, is a person's soul. It's going to live on somewhere. Whether it lives on in heaven or whether it lives on in hell, that soul is going to continue on. And that body, if it's healed, at best is going to last another 70 or 80, maybe 90 years. There's a very few people that make it to 100. But that's nothing in comparison to eternity. That's where we need to be directing people. That's where we need to have our thoughts and our cares and our concerns, is on eternity and on the eternal welfare of the lost. It says here in the 21st verse, well, in the 20th verse, it says, "And the multitude cometh together again, so they could not so much as eat bread." That is, there was such a throng of people about these apostles and the Lord that they didn't have time, and they probably didn't have any food there with us. They couldn't just walk out and go get something to eat. There was too many people about. And I think they were too busy preaching the word and teaching this people and seeing souls saved that they didn't have time to stop and eat. They were concerned with advancing the cause of the Lord here. They didn't take time for their own fleshly needs. And I guess when his friends, from the study that I read, some commentary, it says that this is his friends, it means his relatives, those that were related to him, heard of it. So this, for them to hear of it in this time and day, I mean, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have cars. For them to hear of it probably took a few days. They went out and laid hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. They were concerned with his physical being, the fact that he wasn't eating. And I guess they're talking about Jesus here, and Jesus' relatives, his earthly relatives, perhaps also the apostles, I don't really know, but they were concerned about the physical well-being, the body. They really should have been concerned with the spiritual well-being of the people that were there, because Jesus was taking care of those things. Jesus understood the body wasn't that important. I believe the apostles understood the body wasn't all that important. What was important was the souls of those people, and that's what they were attending to. But his relatives, they weren't catching up on that. And I kind of think they were a hindrance there to the Lord's work when they kind of interfered, it seemed like. They brought in fleshly things. They brought in things of the world to try to... And it's true that, you know, we need food. The Lord, when he was in his fleshly body, he did have to eat something occasionally, but that's not where the priority ought to be. That's not where the thought ought to be. The thought and the priority needs to be upon spiritual things. That's everything that I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts or any comments? Appreciate everybody that's showed up and been in attendance today. Let's remember the prayer request. Let's ask the Lord to meet with us, to give us guidance, to help us to do what it is He'd have us to do. Have our minds where they need to be. That's a hard thing to do. So much of the time it's hard to get our minds where they need to be. The world is, speaking again for myself, it just fills my mind. And that's not okay. You know, you can't get out of the world, but we need to put it aside at least part of the time. If there's not anything else, I'll ask Brother Billy if he would to dismiss us to a level.
Dear my Father, thank you, Lord, for this day.